The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
I just know the rest of
this one.
Stop.
Hey, listen, there's seven of us today. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Full show. More than a full
seven.
Show.
Seven.
Bursting at the seams.
Lucky sevens.
BetMGM is a place for soccer in Canada. And we're all going to be wagering a lot of money this weekend. A ton of money. Not on the games, but whether Vancouver is still there this time next week. I jest. It's been a rough week for Whitecaps fans, hasn't it? We're going to get to that in some depth. Our boy Asa Rahman is the seventh pod member today. Hey, Asa.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. Looking forward to this Whitecaps chat. Hopefully, we can smile about something at some point. But yeah, a lot to discuss here.
A lot to digest, to say the least. But listen, we're going to start some more positive stuff, I think. Lots to get to. I want to mention that Asa, obviously in Vancouver, but so too is our very own Craig Reforesto.
Mm-hmm.
He's there for the FIFA Congress, and Asa will be partaking in some of the festivities there too at the FIFA Congress. Very hoity-toity. The good news is that Wonga isn't accompanying Craig this time. So he won't be, you know.
We're having a lover's quarrel. Just so you know. Lover's quarrel. He said to me last night, we were chatting, and Craig goes, "You know what? I think I could have got you out here.
It's not too late."
I think you got the
invite.
Got it. Get over here. No, he can still get here.
Yes.
No, there was definitely an uninvite from FIFA. Or was that for your accreditation?
That was accreditation. I don't have accreditation either.
Thanks, an invitation set to Mr. Steve Chang.
And Stacks, they didn't ask if you wanted to bring a partner?
No, they didn't. Yeah. But a few of the other guys have partners. Some of them don't. But I guess they're staying in the same room. So maybe they figured, oh, it's an extra room. Can't afford it.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Well, you know what they
one
say.
Of the big, one of the big things here was there is a tournament with all the delegates and FIFA former players and a few legends here. I got a kit, got everything, nice bag, Adidas, all the way through the book. And I got a call from one of the FIFA guys, Javier, and he's like, "Craig, we got a problem." "Okay, what is that?" He goes, "Well, we need football. We need goalkeeper gloves." I go, "Oh, okay." He said, "Yeah, Adidas sent us all kid sizes, so we have no glove." Okay, so I actually text Asa, "What's going on?" I text Paul Dolan, "What's going on? Guys at Soccer X, can we figure something out?" Anyway, North American Sports has been there since I was a kid up on Hastings and Burrard, I guess, right?
Boundary there, yeah.
Boundary, yeah. So anyway, they sent somebody up there and they bought 16 to 20 pair of gloves. So I think they're probably pretty happy up there at the store.
How many goalkeepers are there?
One.
Why do you need 16 pairs?
It's going to get peppered.
Well, there's a whole bunch of teams. Well, there's obviously at least 16 teams, right? So
right. Okay. So it's a tournament.
Yeah. It's for the tournament. Yeah. So but
wouldn't you think the goalkeeper I said,
I don't know what you're going to pay for them.
He's a goalkeeper.
Won't be cheap. And I know that FIFA's on a really tight budget. You might not be able to afford it, but there you go.
But don't you, Craig, as a former goalkeeper, whenever you leave town for an event, you always bring a pair of gloves with you? Because you should, surely.
I don't.
You know that old saying, right? Oh, I never leave home without my boots, just in case, right? Should be the same thing for you in gloves.
I don't need to wear gloves.
No? Are you playing out in goal or are you playing out?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, my God. Please. There's three
options. Not play mm-hmm. or play in goal or play out. Or number four, if I'm playing against Victor Montaliani, if I'm sure I can shadow him. Just stop him from playing.
Hey, listen, Vic's looking pretty svelte these days. I don't know.
Yeah, doesn't he? He's looking good, man. I tell you. He's got to be on Ozempic. He's got it.
Let's see how he looks after a two-footed tackle from Forrest.
Yeah, well, that picture, JC, maybe you can find it. It's in the dark web. It's in the picture I've just popped up in my feed this week by chance, and it's Craig playing in an exhibition match I was in, and Craig was playing out, and he's just hustling towards the ball. He is, like, ripped. He looks intense. Mm-hmm. And in the background is Steve Nash. He's pretty cool. As well, because Steve would play in a bunch of those games. He probably still does. I bet he's playing in one of these games.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know. I bet he's not if it's in Vancouver. Owners are not popular right now here in Vancouver.
That's true. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Way to bring it down again, Asa.
Sorry.
It's been really fun, Asa. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Jesus. No, listen, let's before we get to the Vancouver stuff, a few things to get to. PSG, Bayern Munich yesterday, 5-4 PSG. One of the great games, if you like attacking football. To hell with defense, but what a match. Probably the two best teams in world football right now. At the very least, the two most fun to watch, and they put on a show, Dubs.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I got a chance to just watch the first half, which, if you're just compartmentalizing it like half by half, it was unreal, whether it was like possession. Bayern has a spell at the beginning. You can hardly hear yourself, even as somebody who's watching at home, because Parc des Princes is so loud and they're whistling and they don't like it and they're supporting their team. And then it was just end to end, like wide open, attack-minded, aggressive football. It was like Elise on that right flank. I think he only lost one duel when he was going 1v1. His goal in the central area, like just the response, the answers back and forth. And so I caught up today just before the pod, and it was unbelievable. Like Bayern looks out of it, but they're never out of it. The company is shown like up in the stands because he has his one match ban. And you think, I wonder what's going through his head right now, you know, thinking about, the gap that they're going to have to make up because they're down 5-2 at that point. And then they come storming back like Kimmich and his service off of set pieces was unreal all game long, but then delivers two almost from exactly the same spot. And there they are right back in the game. And I think Davies gets done dirty with that handball call right at the end of the first half. And he subbed off, thankfully, because we've been talking about him and you just want to wrap him up and put him in your pocket, right? Make sure he stays healthy for Canada, but also for Bayern as they see the season out. But hell of a game. Just unbelievable. It's type of thing where you watch and you're just happy to be a fan.
It's nice to hear you talk about the Germans like that with excitement.
I love how it's yours now, Jimmy. You're like, I watch German football. It's mine. Welcome, everybody. It's
nice to hear your excitement.
He's forced to because of one soccer.
Aren't they incredible? They're so fun to watch.
Yeah. That's it? That's all you have to offer?
Yeah, you explained it all.
Oh, wow. All right.
But a 5-4, though, Jimmy, listen, we've seen this team all season long at 5-4. It's essentially 0-0.
Yeah.
Going back to Bayern Munich, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Wait till they get back to Bayern. It's going to be a different story. They're so good. And it's funny because even throughout the season, they could be down 1-0, 2-0. It doesn't matter who they're playing against, but you just know second half, they just turn it on and they end up winning games. You saw it in that match as well in the second half. They just started lighting it up again. So for me, when they get back to Bayern, they're going to win it.
Hey, unpopular opinion. That was a handball and a penalty, though. Like, I feel like if that was like his arm's away, the other one's behind. It kind of goes off of his thigh, maybe, but it blocks the cross. Isn't that a handball? But
in my opinion, Asa, it goes off his thigh and then up to his arm, and then you see the arm go away as he turns away from the shot. So to the letter of the law, that should not be called a handball.
But yeah, I understand that. I feel like that scenario is a little bit different when it's like, I don't know, this one felt really bang, bang. And it's like, even if it's coming off the thigh, the ball's kind of getting crossed in and the arm blocks it. So it's like, and it's in an unnatural. It felt like, I don't know. It felt like we were maybe seeing it through Rose Canada colored glasses. Like if it was the other way around, I think we would be screaming for a pen. Like if Canada's playing Bosnia in a couple of months and a cross is coming in and it's like a ricochet off the thigh and an arm that's out here, I think we're saying pen. Like I think all day we're like, that's a pen because we've got Jonathan David at the back post and he's going to head that in or whatever. Like I thought that was a penalty if the roles were reversed, which is how I try to look at those scenarios.
You can't go against the law, Asa. You cannot go against the law.
Yeah, I think once it hits the body and then hits the arm, nil and void. Done. Not a penalty.
There's also one of those that at full speed, it tells a very different story to the numerous replays we've seen. Look at that. It's blatant.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
What was interesting to me to add a further layer to that is that the referee does not call it when it happens, and then it goes to VAR after, and then it's overturned as a clear and obvious error. So that's an interesting nuance to it to me. Like, that's odd.
Mm. Clear and obvious, intent, unnatural, all these stupid terms ruining our game today. That no one, they're also subjective. These aren't black and white. Mm. If it was simply black and white, hiss your hand in the box is a penalty. Okay, sure. Let's go with it. That's probably the solution here, isn't it? Just make it black and white, hiss your arm, unnatural or otherwise, how you perceive it to be, it's a pen. That's the only way that people will just accept it. It's okay. It might be unfair, but that's the rule.
They don't want defenders defending with their hands behind their backs, locked behind their back. But that's exactly what you have to do. If you're just
and that's what he did. But he did do that. And then he turned and his arm kind of came away from that. And then the ball went up his leg and then hit him in the arm.
Yeah.
And it was a hit with such force that it actually made his arm move where if it was a soft, like you would have said, oh, he was trying to keep his hand away. And I don't know.
But you need your arms out when you're turning, don't you?
Yes. To balance. 100%.
You can't turn your arms without your arms being out.
This is a Seinfeld episode.
Everyone, stand up and turn around.
Yeah.
Just try it with your arms because behind your back.
It's impossible. The commentators even talk about it. They're like, there's Davies and he's got his arms behind his back and then he takes them out for a second and then they go back again. As if to say he's guilty for doing that, right?
It is ridiculous. I hate watching defenders with the hands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Yeah. I agree.
Just be happy that he didn't break his arm. Okay, because the way things are going these days, Fonzie breaks his arm with a handball.
Yeah.
Well, here we have a picture of it. I'll put it up right now of what we're talking about.
You're a little bit behind there, JC.
Is that Hero?
that's Bobby Hiroshi, right?
Chef Boyardee.
That's Dero just dipping before the finish line.
Yeah.
Just to get in front of you.
No, that's Bobby Iarushi and Steve Nash and Craig Forrest, three legends of Canadian sport. Right there.
Look at Craig's right thigh.
I know it's
my God, Craig.
Look at that.
What has happened to you?
I'm salivating over your VMO, Craig Forrest.
And Nash's right quad as well popping. Look at that. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of nice legs in that picture.
I know.
Love popping.
Look at the mustache on Chef Boyardee. It's perfect.
He's watching the pod too, eh? Just seeing like that picture.
If Steve Nash is watching this, we should get him on anyway. He'd love to talk about Spurs, wouldn't he? He's a huge Spurs fan. This would be the year. Hey, Steve.
He's having a rough year, eh?
No kidding. Other good news, though, from Canadian perspective, Carl Larin, even though it was against Ipswich, Craig, scored a beautiful goal yesterday. And I love the way he kind of shushes the crowd as he runs away. He's enjoying himself, isn't it? That was a classic finish.
Yeah, he's got a little edge to him now. And you know, that goal, I mean, the ball played into him was played with a lot of pace. His first touch was excellent. Obviously, a couple defenders come in. He's trying to cut back. He's expecting some maybe contact, maybe getting the ball. Cuts back onto his left foot, but then I think he uses his right foot to dink it over the goalkeeper. It was like, it was top quality, top quality. And I don't think we've seen him even attempt that 2 months ago.
You're right.
But he is just absolutely loving it. You know, it's amazing. He's just found exactly the right fit, Southampton, and everything about it is perfect for Kyle Larin. So good luck to Southampton in the playoffs. I'm glad Ipswich walked away with a deserved point, but it's all for them to do on the weekend, I guess, against QPR. If they win that, they're automatically promoted into the Premier League. So a lot of big matches on the weekend.
What do we think of the Brampton Bagsman? Isn't that a great nickname?
I like it.
I haven't heard this yet.
You haven't?
No.
That's the nickname they've given him.
Southampton.
Yeah.
Social media use it all the time.
Really? Look on all of your faces when I said it was just like my audio wasn't functioning.
I know. I thought you were referring to our Kyle Becker interview the other day.
Yeah.
Which, by the
everyone's
way,
on the ball.
Watch. Hmm? No, I'm just sorry. I'm just promoting the Kyle Becker interview from yesterday. It's fantastic. And I implore everyone to give it a listen. Sorry, Dubs, you were saying.
I was throwing it to you guys to say I love that nickname. What do you guys think?
Best nickname.
Fucking fell flat as a pancake.
No, so it's great.
Go on, Sharms. What's next on the rundown?
No, I think going back to it though, I think one time they misspelled Brampton and said Bampton or something, and Brampton called him out instantly. So
yeah,
it's great. And then
the Southampton fans are calling him this.
Your name is James.
Southampton social media is.
How do I not know this? I'm like freaking immersed in this bloody sport constantly. I haven't seen this.
Pull it up, JC.
Yeah.
There's a million things going on.
There's a lot going on right now.
Brampton is a really important part of Canada and Canada lore, and it breeds talent for both of our national teams. So the fact that it's singled out and recognized in this way, and he's not called something Toronto, he's not called Canadian something, he's called the Brampton Bagsman. I just think, yes, fucking go on, Southampton.
I played rugby for Brampton. Back in the day.
Good.
Did your dad coach you?
Well, I played rugby for Brampton, but just not very well. Anyway, we're ripping through topics here. And Dubs, oh Christ, back to Dubs now.
No thanks.
More airtime.
Go somewhere else.
No. This whole yellow card rule thing that
I didn't have time
to read the topic. What's going on with yellow cards at the World Cup?
Well, there'll be two amnesty periods because you have the extra game. You have the round of 32 instead of yellow cards being wiped at the end of, I think, the quarterfinals, which has happened in the past. Now, because of the additional game, because of a 48 team tournament, rather than it being 32, is you have up to two yellow cards wiped at the end of the group stage. So two amnesty periods instead of the one. And less jeopardy, which is good because as fans, I mean, this is really what we're doing here. Yes, we're previous players, we're fans of the game, but watching the World Cup, you're hoping for that theater and that incredible display, like we're just talking about in Champions League. You want the best players competing and playing. So I think this rule instituted allows or ensures that more of those types of players will be competing in each of the matches that mean something.
And these days, yellow cards are coming out of the pockets like a toaster oven. So they have to do something. And I think it's a good move. Because, I mean, it was on the edge with a 32-team World Cup where I thought they could probably use, given allowing another yellow card, because of how many yellow cards you see these days.
Yeah.
It's a good move. It's a good move.
I agree with it. Especially, you know, the top player, and it's two stupid yellow cards, maybe a professional foul where he tugs a jersey or standing in front of a ball and gets two yellows, and all of a sudden now that top player is missing the next game, in the next stage. I don't agree with it.
I agree
with what they're doing now, but I didn't agree with what they did before.
I hope the referees know, well, they can get another one now. So I think I was on the edge before. I'll give this one.
Oh, they're more inclined, you mean, to get the book out.
Maybe, I hope not. But
I hope not either.
Mm-hmm. Can you appeal yellow cards to the World Cup? Get them rescinded? Don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No. Should be able to. But again, subjectivity. There you go again.
This whole yellow and red card thing. Oh, sorry, James, if I may. I apologize.
No.
But now, coming soon for the World Cup, just in time for the World Cup, Footy Prime's RTDs, the red card and yellow card, now in packs of four. 3 yellow and 1 red. That'll go the game well.
Hey, JC, where do we purchase such drinks?
Right here with the Brampton Bagsman.
Oh, there it is.
Thanks so much, JC.
There it is. But seriously, where can you buy these drinks?
Well, at the moment, because we haven't fully released them,
you can't.
No, at Inter-Toronto games, Inter-Toronto home games, and AFC Toronto home games.
Okay,
nice. So when you're out, when the fans are out there watching the games, you'll be able to try them out, and you're getting a sneak peek before they are released to the general public, which makes you should feel special.
Yeah, go. You should be buying tickets anyway for Inter-Toronto and AFC Toronto.
Yes,
and their home opener for the sophomore season is this Sunday, May 3rd, versus the Halifax Tides.
Get your four pack.
All right. Good, good. I was just going to say, if you put a yellow card in the toaster, would it come out light brown? I guess it depends how long it was in the toaster for.
Slightly jaundiced.
Slightly jaundiced. Yeah.
Less I've been called that before.
I'm not touching that.
Racist. Dubs is a racist.
I am getting destroyed on this podcast today.
Okay.
Well, his nickname was Toaster.
Dubs is a racist for saying I'm not touching that.
Yeah. I'm just not going to say
anything. I'm not touching that.
We will get to Vancouver later soon, I promise. But it's a lot of things we're going through here. We didn't mention it last week, but they released the latest song in this Canada Soccer album, and it's City in Colour doing a cover of the Hips Head by a Century, and it's freaking
awesome,
magnificent.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. And you talk about great sports songs and how they can capture a summer. It happens. Growing up in England, it happened all the time. You know, the summer of, remember 96? I wasn't actually there for that one, but I know Jimmy and Craig, whether you were there or not, but Three Lions. It could be a cover anyway, but I got a feeling that this version, this song could capture the summer of 2026 here in Canada. Jubs, you're a big Hip fan.
Huge.
It's great, right? This gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's terrific. I mean, a number of them have come out, and I have to say I maybe haven't paid tons of attention to them, maybe because I'm not super familiar with, Boy Wonder or Wanda, I should say. The producer of all of these, don't know him super well, maybe not plugged into all of the artists that he's collaborating with, but I definitely know the Tragically Hip. And I remember, I think it was the home game, the most recent one, Nelly Furtado was in the stands and Jenkins on the call. No, it was Wildman. And he mentioned Nelly Furtado. I'm like, Rob Baker sitting right there. Like, how are you not talking about Rob Baker? Giants of Canadian culture, not even just music or arts. It's just, you know, the Hip, right? Not even mentioning Gord Downie and everything that he meant, I think, to Canadiana. So to see them cover this song, I think it's just hugely meaningful and hopefully will imbue the tournament and allow it to take up more space. We keep talking about soccer and how we still think it's small. Well, this tournament's not small, but maybe Canada needs to sit up and take notice. And maybe this is another way that you kind of chip away at that.
Yeah, I got to say the first couple of songs were released and I found them a little bit underwhelming just because I'm old.
Yeah.
No, I felt the same way. I think I'm like that with any.
You're all too, now. Asa. You're
yeah, I know, I am. I think with any new song, it's like I don't really get it till I start hearing it more. And then, and then maybe I get into it. But this, the Hip cover was incredible.
Yeah.
All the feels. It was great.
Didn't Nelly Furtado do the song for the Portuguese Euro?
Oh, maybe. I know.
Back in the day, I think she might have done this tournament.
Promiscuous
song,
boy. Promiscuous girl. Whoever you are. That was for them.
The best part there was Wonga dancing. But she also, like the first one of the first two songs she released too, right?
Mm-hmm.
With someone else. I think she may be in the featuring part. Oh. Right? Like today we are Footy Prime featuring Asa Rahman, right? But he's actually the big star of the second, kind of how it works. But they're fine. I'm sure I'm not dismissing the songs. I'm sure people love them. They'll be successful. But for me, being an old cantankerous fucker, they're not my cup of tea. But if I go back to the 1990s and head by a century, he's like, yes. And Sidney Nkoa is amazing too.
Yes.
I love him. He's brilliant. Yeah. Even when he was in Alexis and Fire, that was great. It was really loved that band.
Mm-hmm.
Loved that band. But anyway, give it a chance if you haven't heard it. I want to get Dallas Green on the show. Don't you think we should get him on the show?
Yes, we should.
Right.
I think we should get all of those artists on the show. Alanis Morissette.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the 11 icons?
Yeah. We should ask Canada Soccer for the hookup and see if they jump on our show and clown around with us. And we can they can ask us about our rock and roll history knowledge, and we can.
Yeah, because I'm sure that would be front of mind for them. I can't wait to quiz them.
We'll quiz them.
Everyone loves a quiz.
Who doesn't love some trivia?
9 questions with Alanis.
Get to know me with Alanis on Footy Prime.
Take your check and little pill and eat it or something.
That's right. You ought to know better, Denwon.
Who are the other icons? I know they haven't all been announced yet. Who are they again? Someone look it up. The icons that they've announced like 3 or 4 so far, right? Alanis being one of them, I believe.
Well, they're not all musicians. Are we talking about the iconic 11?
Yeah.
So we got Sidney Crosby, Simu Liu, and Shawn Mendes. That's the first 3.
Oh, that's it so far?
That's ambassadors.
Shawn Mendes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. It's a choice. It's fine. It's very popular.
You judged it by saying it's a choice.
Great.
Who?
He doesn't want to come on if he listens to this one.
What does he say?
Hey, come on the show.
This boy.
Come on, come on the show where no one knows who you are.
No, we've got some young people that listen who actually care about relevancy in this cultural world of ours. There's some.
No, you're right. I was talking to SiriusXM and they're giving us some of our numbers. And we have our biggest demo are males. We're a 75 to 25% male to female skew. But males are, we've brought, there's more people listening to us in a younger from 25 to 35 instead of 35 to 49, which we used to be. So all of our old geezers, we love you, but welcome younger people.
I think they're dying off. That's why.
They stopped listening when Charm said they didn't like Shawn Mendes. So. Yeah.
We've been doing this so long, they're dying off.
Wow, maybe longer than The Simpsons. Jesus.
I'm tired of this shit.
Anyway, listen, we're going through a lot of stuff here. Just trying to get as many topics into this podcast today as possible because Footy Prime is dying and we're being acquired and we're moving south of the border. Oh, no, that's Vancouver, according to the reports this week.
Ooh,
God, it's been a rough week. A rough, rough week for the Whitecaps. There was the Athletic article saying that MLS have discussed recently the potential of relocating the Caps, possibly to Las Vegas. The Caps then responded, acknowledging the report and saying that although their priority is still to sell or find investors to keep the team in Vancouver, as yet that has not happened and that in fact it isn't even close. Mayor Ken Sim then came out yesterday, a long post saying how the city has done its part with the MOU for the Hastings Park site for a stadium, but has now called on the club to break down exactly what is needed and for the province to do the same. All right, Asa Roman, have we learned anything new this week at all? Is it just lots and lots of words?
It is, yeah. There's a lot of words, a lot of discussion. I think that there's the seriousness of the potential of this team moving to Las Vegas. I think that was something that was kind of discussed and talked about or maybe rumored for quite a while, but there's something there now. There's something of substance, at least. With this potential move to Las Vegas. And the good news, I think, with this scenario is that it sounds like there is a commitment to try to keep Vancouver, the Whitecaps in Vancouver from the city, you hope from the province as well. Over that message has been a little muddled at times. And the Vancouver Whitecaps, from what we're hearing from the ownership and what we heard from Axel in the past, there's Still, they intend to obviously to keep things in Vancouver. There's been a commitment to the players that they've brought in, and the way that they're handling business anyway, all signs point to them actually wanting to keep the team here. There's obviously pressure from the league, it seems. So figuring that out, we know that Commissioner Don Garber is in Vancouver as well this week with the FIFA Congress happening on Thursday. So I imagine there will be more meetings with politicians as well to try to come up with a solution here. But you're right, James. Like, that's the issue here, is trying to figure out exactly what the solution is, what it looks like, because we have the team saying that they've had more than 100 people kind of show interest. But it isn't a good enough business model, I guess, for anyone to invest or purchase this team and keep them here in Vancouver. The Hastings situation doesn't seem like that's a solution now for various reasons. So now it's back to BC Place, potentially finding a way BC Place can work. And yeah, I think that's the biggest issue now. I had a message from, been chatting a little bit with David Osted, who started this Save the Caps petition as well a few weeks back, and just chatting back and forth with him and trying to figure out what the solution looks like, because he has over 10,000 signatures now. I think it's over 11,000. His goal was 10,000, and then get everybody together. Well, we're at that number. What's the next step? And for him, and I think for a lot of people, it's getting that solution from, or the wording from the Vancouver Whitecaps on what exactly a solution looks like. Up until now, it's been an investor, a buyer, and that's kind of been the kind of the blanket statement. They need somebody with, you know, deep pockets to come in and save the team. But we're at the point now where I think fans and everyone wants to know what exactly that looks like, because we're hearing there have been over 100 people kind of show interest and kind of keep going back to this. Yes, people are interested, but it's not enough. So what is enough? Like, what is needed here? And is it venturing outside of Vancouver, potentially into Burnaby, Coquitlam, or Surrey? Multi-ownership group? Like, what does it look like when it comes to this savior with deep pockets to keep the Caps in Vancouver? Because it seems like the city wants it to, the Caps stay here, the province, the country, the league, the fans around the league, I should say. Like, it's getting all the support you want. It's a great team on the pitch, you know, racing for the supporter shield here. So everything is looking good for this team. The numbers, the attendance has been excellent as well. So now it's just a matter of like really fine tuning what the ask is, what is needed to keep this team here.
It's kind of an interesting time when they decided to release that too, just after they had a whole slew of home games, excuse me. And then now they're going on the road for 7 games. So the attendances have been good. They obviously worried that that's going to be affected in the future, because who the fuck is going to go to games if they know the team's gone? It's just a massive, it's like going to an execution.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And I have to say too, and Greg Kerfoot is, and the ownership group are going to be seen here a little bit of like the villains, and Greg Kerfoot and that group were the ones that saved Vancouver. They saved soccer in Vancouver, not just once, more than once. They put a ton of money into the women's program. They've done an awful lot of good things, and he's a really rich man, but he's not rich enough to be able to sustain losses of $15 to $16 million a year. You can, you know, we have to understand that. Now, how do we make that work? How does the government, how does the city make that work? It's important because government also run BC Place. Now, you're going to lose a tenant. Okay, so do the math on that. It's not like you're going to be able to replace the Whitecaps with somebody else. That's not going to happen. And does the city of Vancouver want to be a major player? Do they want to be seen as a major city hosting major events? Yes. Well, you should have professional teams. They lost the Grizzlies because of the same sort of thing. And that owner, never saw him again, American guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't live here. Greg Kerfoot lives in Vancouver. You know, it's a different situation for them. He does not want to see this leave. He doesn't want the Whitecaps to leave, but he's in a really difficult position. I just hope that somebody can, the league, the province, the city combined can somehow, you know, save this team and that has had such a major impact on soccer in not only Canada, but in North America. we have the World Cup. I would give up the World Cup in a second, in a second, to have Vancouver stay.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the sentiment that's being felt, throughout Canada and then U.S. as well. We're hearing a lot of people from the Save the Crew movement speaking up and supporting the Vancouver Whitecaps, the Cascadia rivals, Portland and Seattle, standing up for the Vancouver Whitecaps. So I think a lot of people understand what's going on here and how important the Vancouver Whitecaps are to soccer, to football in this part of the world. So I think that all those things are apparent or evidence. Now it's a matter of coming up with a solution and really identifying it, I think, is the first thing. And once we have that, and then I think that you'll have, people pushing towards it. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I think it's been brought up a few times now more recently is potentially operating BC Place. And that could be the solution. That's how a lot of the stadiums run. The more I'm looking into it, any sort of major sports stadium, especially in the US, and I know it's different, but at the same time, the stadiums there, I use Cowboys Stadium, AT&T, where it's believed to be Jerry's Stadium. It's actually owned by the city of Arlington. And that's how a lot of the stadiums and arenas are. They're owned by the city or the state. And the sports team, the major sports team, the major tenant operates it. So then they are able to generate more revenue because of it. And then the city, the state would benefit from the major events that then come to play there or be at the stadium. And, you'd hope that that would maybe be the solution that they're looking at here. And then BC Place would run and operate more like a sports stadium. And yes, it would have trade shows, but right now, with the province running it, it's sometimes sports isn't always the focus at BC Place. And sometimes it's secondary to some of the other events that they have there that
Super
are
dogs. Regular,
that are booked regularly.
Garden show. BC Place.
Yeah. Well, and the other side of things too is development. Our national team is going to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
the Alfonso Davies came through Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yeah.
If he didn't have that opportunity, would he end up in Bayern Munich?
I don't know. A lot of people say, he was this, prodigy, incredible athlete. And he's the one that kind of comes to mind when you look at the Vancouver Whitecaps. But to me, it's a numbers game. And he could have ended up maybe at Toronto or another club. But the fact that you have three MLS clubs that have these academies, this outfit, it just creates more opportunities. Honestly, if you had a fourth, it'd be even better just to house more players and create these opportunities. The next one for me that I keep bringing up here with the Vancouver Whitecaps is Jeevan Badwal, who honestly came through the system, played at Surrey through the grassroots programs there, and then into the Whitecaps Academy as a teenager, and is now a starter for the Vancouver Whitecaps, and then knocking on the door for the national team as well. And I think we're going to see more and more of those through these academies, whether it's Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver. And that's another big part of it. And I think a big reason why we have to keep this going because, they have so many kids coming through the academy. And if they're not going on to play with the Vancouver Whitecaps, and I think this is big too. Ralph Priso, for example, even though he doesn't end up being a star with TFC, still comes through that academy and is given that opportunity. And then Colorado, and then into Vancouver, and now we're seeing this player. But I think that you have to have these environments to allow these players to continue to develop. Nico Seager is another one. Yes, went overseas, but kind of came up through the Whitecaps as well, through his youth. Mm-hmm. And just the more kids you can kind of bring through the system, you're populating the CPL, you're populating the MLS, you're just continuing to develop Canadian talent here. And I don't think anyone cares about our Canadian kids more than the Canadian teams. We'll play them. We'll have the Canadian Championship, and they'll play through that tournament as well. I don't know if it's the same in for an American team in MLS.
I can't find it. We got a comment from a listener talking about all the camps that the Caps have around Canada as well throughout the year, and this goes beyond just specifically the Whitecaps and their academy. How they do try and source young talent from around the country on a constant basis, right? And would that go away if the team went away? My biggest fear, honestly, if I'm honest and if I go deep down into MLS, like deep, deep through those layers where the top boys operate. Do they really give a shit about the league and the teams in this country, specifically Vancouver? Is it far more intriguing for the MLS deep thinkers to see a team in Vegas than it is to see in Vancouver? That is a real fear of mine.
Yeah. Wouldn't they want both, though? I think that's where I think the Whitecaps are unique. They are the one team that has, you know, this rich history going back to the NASL days, and they lean on that as well to bring it up. I think that's important. And then, yeah, you want the new markets as well. So I also think that there's value in having teams in Canada. I think that kind of broadens the reach when you're looking for eyeballs. You want them throughout North America, right? So I think that's a benefit. And they've kind of got this region, this Western Canadian region. So I think it's an important market for MLS. And yeah, you'd probably want other ones as well. I don't think it's great if they keep moving teams, because you're losing markets when they're desperately wanting as many people interested in this game. And the Whitecaps right now are a global brand as well. We're seeing supporters in Germany. And and then when Ali Ahmed went to Norwich, you know, the fact that they're kind of connected globally, I think is valuable as well for MLS.
Asa, what struck me about the Whitecaps statement, the one that they made, like where it was, they didn't mince words, they got straight to the point, but it was bleak in tone, the one that you've alluded to a number of times now. What do you think? I think there was no kind of confusing the timing of that from ownership. Like, I think they had to get it out there to let people know what was going on. But what do you feel like is the timeline on the club in terms of the league? Like, how long are they going to give the current owners in order to find a viable solution?
Yeah, I think that's another interesting point. I don't know, honestly, and no one's really come up with that like hard deadline. That's a scary thought as well. I think once you kind of put that out there, then you're committed to that. That's the next kind of piece of this puzzle. And once, that's out there, people believe probably just after the World Cup, it's kind of the timeline here, potential deadline. And the next home game for the Vancouver Whitecaps in league play will be August 1st. So it's probably going to be some major news before then. But it was tough to read that and then digest it as well and process the words that were in that statement. And basically it came down to the last line being a public plea to just reach out to anybody who could save the Vancouver Whitecaps. And the tough thing is, going back to it, you know, it feels like you've had so many people show interest. I don't know who this mystery person would be now at this stage if no one else is found this club viable. So there needs to be some other part of the equation that makes this team more attractive as an investment.
And I think the league itself and the franchise fees at what they are is become a problem, because there's a way out. This Ponzi scheme that is MLS and the ownership, they're not making money. But as long as the franchise fees and you have people who keep wanting to take this and buy them at that price, and it keeps going up, then you're going to keep seeing this sort of thing happen.
Yeah, and that's what
really, if they weren't worth 450 million pounds or dollars, would they be selling them? No, probably not. It's actually part of the problem.
I do wonder about this whole calendar switch and whether that elevates MLS into the general world soccer conversation. Now they're on par with all the leagues around the world, and that just increases value. Yes, you know, 2,000-3,000 miles away, kilometers away, whatever, from Europe.
I get a similar sense, James. I think on a number of levels where I feel like now we're seeing MLS potentially really take a turn. It's taken a long time to get to this stage, but the development that we're seeing, you know, we've talked about the Canadian teams, the Vancouver Whitecaps in particular, but it's throughout the league. I think every week we're seeing some teenager actually do something, perform well. The kids at RSL, throughout, yeah, the entire MLS. So you're seeing, I think, more players being developed, moving on, potentially selling. So it's, and then you're right, and then aligning the calendar as well to benefit from the transfer windows. For the most part, it's starting to look more like it, the rest of the leagues around the world. And then you wonder if, yeah, you're kind of selling just before you've really matured here as a league. And yeah, I'm curious to see where this thing goes in the next 5 years. And you hope that the Whitecaps can stick around, stay in Vancouver through it, because I think the next TV deal is going to be really, really interesting as well. And there could be, yeah, more money coming in to this league in the next little bit.
Well, you know, sorry for crapping all over this episode, but there we have it. It's existential conversations. Aren't they fun? Let's get this out. We keep saying that, but it drags on, and these things don't get fixed overnight. We know that. They take a long time. But clarity would be good from all parties here. What exactly will it take?
And I don't want to be a negative Neil, but I'll try.
Negative Neil.
Instead of negative Nelly.
That guy. What a
but
prick.
You keep seeing Don Garber mentioning, and he is the, you know, the board of directors, board of governors has put him as the spokesperson, the president, chairman, whatever his titles are. And every time he speaks, it's basically something doom, like pretty much doom. What's the term? Something in doom? Doom and gloom. Thank you. But, you know, this is just foreshadowing. He's getting people ready. And I don't want to sound like it's unsavable, but his last three or four communiques were always negative. And that should be telling us something.
Yeah, remember, critical, it was right? Before the MLS Cup.
Yes, that was like
finalists, absolutely. Vancouver Whitecaps. Well, the situation's untenable. So yes. Don Garber.
Yeah. It's not even about
the
game.
Shut the fuck up, yeah. Don Garber. We're about to kick off in a final. Yeah. It's just setting the table for their inevitable demise down the road. I think you're right, Longer. Negative Neil.
Thank you.
Asa, what would you say is the like sort of magic number that someone would have to come up with in order to take over? Like on the low end, would you?
And do it
we can't afford it,
$1 billion. Yeah.
$1 billion.
You knew it.
$1 billion.
Is it $1 billion?
It'd be $1 billion, yeah. I mean, so looking then, at 400 to 500 million for the actual franchise, and if you want to build a stadium on top of that, which they need.
Yeah,
throw in another $500 million.
So yeah. if the 11,000
money from the states.
Well, if the 11,000 people that signed that petition put about $90,000 in, that's the team right there.
Yeah, it's actually where my head went when the petitions first came up. I was thinking like, what is the play here? Even if the crowdfunding scenario came up, the number's way too high. You know, it's like. Best case scenario, you get $5 million.
Yeah,
doesn't do anything, you know. Like, if $5 million is a lot of money from crowdfunding everyone in the Lower Mainland, like that would be amazing. It just doesn't do anything.
Well, listen, what if Deadpool sold Wrexham and used some of that money to save his hometown?
Yeah, yeah. The Wrexham comparison is so interesting, right? Because he bought at the bottom. And going back to Craig's point about the valuation stuff here, and that's probably what ends up happening with a lot of the people that have shown interest in investing in the Vancouver Whitecaps. You look at the books and you're just trying to figure out how do you actually make your money here. And that seems to be the biggest problem because, someone like Ryan Reynolds sees the upside, buying low and, you know, and building it up, investing and building it up. That's not really the case here. With the Vancouver Whitecaps at the moment.
Is there some Welsh celebrity with lots of money who wants to come in and invest in Canadian soccer?
Yeah.
Right? A little payback here.
Like an owner swap reality show?
Kelly Jones, Stereophonics.
Yeah. Are they that rich? I think he's that rich.
He's very short.
Who is the most famous Welshman or Welshwoman?
Tom Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Not unusual.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
You want the bank of
be someone else whoa, other than Tom Jones. Someone, please Google famous Welsh people.
We just named the two.
Matthew Rhys also comes to mind. But I don't think he's super rich.
Who?
The Beast in Me, Matthew Rhys, married to Carrie Russell. Brilliant actor. Charms, we're having a great day, me and you.
Anthony Hopkins, yeah. Catherine Zeta-Jones, Christian Bale, Michael Sheen, Dame Shirley Bassey. Oh, there you go.
Shirley Bassey, Goldfinger.
I think she died.
Stereophonics. Ooh, yes. Band.
Didn't JC say that off the top?
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Big band, small guy.
Who was the other one? That girl?
A few bucks.
Catalonia or something like that.
Oh, are they Welsh?
Yeah, she's Welsh.
Maybe a group of Welshmen and Welshmen can get together and save Vancouver.
Call Reed.
They owe us, for Christ's sakes.
A group of Welshmen's called a parliament. Interesting.
Amy wins.
Together. Or is it a murderer, Welshman? No,
that's crows.
Depends what you're after.
I suppose so. All right, listen, we should probably call it quits. It's 50 minutes in. We covered a lot today. That should cover us for YouTube the next week or so. Is there anything else you want to get to before we... listen, I know we want to tease Friday. Check out our socials and our podcast. We've got a little bit of news, something you might enjoy or you might not enjoy. I don't know, but we've got a little bit of a bit of hype building. Right, JC?
Yeah. Well, let's just say that you can... Well, shit, I don't want to give out too much. I don't know. How much do you give when you tease something?
Why don't you just tell us what you're going to do?
This much or like a full V-neck?
No, just the tip.
Speaking of V-neck.
But yeah, stick around. So Friday. So there's reason not to unfollow us just yet. I mean, there probably is.
Unless we get sold to Vegas.
Yeah, let's get sold to Vegas. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be on that plane so quick.
That's
Jimmy's bringing his whole family out to Vegas.
Everybody, let's go.
Anyway, make sure you like
the Whitecaps name. They got to keep the Whitecaps name. Say, fuck you. You could go to Vegas, but you're not taking the Whitecaps name.
Yeah, it wouldn't really make sense. And
imagine being called the Vegas Whitecaps. It would make no sense.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, they got the mountains in the area. They could snow tip mountains.
There's a lot of snow in Vegas.
They go and paint it.
No, the worst
Grizzlies.
No, the worst is the Utah Jazz with a bunch of Mormons. Are not listening to a lot of jazz from New Orleans.
No.
They should be called the Utah Horse and Carts.
Utah really wives.
So much.
The buggies.
The wives.
But don't listen. You're going to piss off all the Mormon listeners, and then we're going to lose thousands of them. Because as Wonga said, SiriusXM gave us some numbers, and we rate very highly in the Mormon.
That's right.
Population. Strangely enough, it's
weird. Tuning into the radios.
We're really turning up discussion among the Mormons.
I feel like getting Mormons mixed up with other groups right now. I think most Mormons have electricity, I think.
No, they don't.
They don't?
I'm just being an asshole.
They have to read transcripts.
Before we offend more religions. God help us. Until next time, which might be tomorrow. Is there a broadcast this week, Dubs?
There's a broadcast tomorrow.
Tomorrow? So are we off tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, thank Christ.
You're not inspiring confidence as the host, I have to say.
All right, so for tomorrow, that's Thursday, it's a broadcast. We're back on Friday with the big news. And who knows where we're at that point. There will be, of course, footy picks, though. So Craig, get some picks in for us, okay? You know why? Because Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary, why don't you? Till then, bye-bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Bye-bye.
Like the Mormons.
Thank you, Sir Roman.
Enjoy it.
Negative Neil.
Yeah.
They're not staying. They're gone.
No. Yeah.